Congregation, the main text for this morning is from 1 Corinthians 7, the verses 29 and 30. 1 Corinthians 7, the verses 29 and 30. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that all they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. So far. Congregation, there's a short version and a longer version of the points for today. We just mentioned the first one, the shorter one. Paul's advice. In the first place, who is he advising? Secondly, what is he advising? And in the third place, why is he advising? Shorter version. Now the longer version. The Apostle Paul's advice to them that were called. To stay where they are. Because the time is short. See, that's the same. Paul's advice, in the first place, who is he advising? Namely, the called by God. Secondly, what is he advising? To remain where you are. I hope to explain that. And in the third place, why is he advising that? Because the time is short. Congregation, maybe begin with an example for the children. Suppose someone is on his deathbed. It won't take long anymore, a few days. They are standing next to their bed and the person dying says, I would like to buy a house. Say, what? Like to buy a house? You know, that doesn't make any sense. No. So what are you advising? You're advising this sick man, he's so sick, you're advising this man to just let go. Because the time is short. There are better things to do, right, than buying a house or your deathbed. And that's something like the Apostle Paul is doing here. The time is short. We are on our deathbed. Says, what are you doing? What are you doing? Have you been called out of the darkness to the light? Are you so worried about things that need to change? Just let go. And remember, the time is short. So that's kind of the context of this chapter. And then it's remarkable that the Apostle Paul indeed talks about them that were called. Were called. Let me show you. 17. But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all the churches. Is any man called? Being uncircumcised, let him not be circumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. The Apostle Paul is talking about the calling, God's calling. You have been called by God. What does it mean? Called. Well, I can call one of my children, and I just mention her name and say, come. But, you know, the child can obey or disobey. That's just the common word of calling. You also use it for a telephone call, right? And someone can pick up the phone or not. So sometimes with calling, the Bible does not mean anything else than just call someone. Hey, so-and-so. But sometimes with calling means a vocation. The calling, you feel the calling to become a teacher. You feel the calling to be an engineer. You feel the calling to be a counselor. You feel that calling somehow. And maybe also in a religious sense, the Apostle Paul has been called by God to be an apostle. But sometimes that calling is God's calling, right? God's calling. My son, my daughter, give me your heart. So that is God's call, the call of the gospel, the call of the Bible, the call of the message, to repent and to seek salvation and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the calling that comes from the Lord. He calls, doesn't he? Does he call you? But sometimes the calling does not mean only the calling of the word that comes to the ear. Sometimes the calling in the Bible, also in this chapter, mean that calling that is so powerful, so irresistible, that it goes into your heart. And the Lord calls you and draws you with this calling that only the Lord can call you with. There's not a calling you can ignore. You can't ignore it anymore. There's such a sweetness in there. Such a power in there. It's so convincing. Your understanding is enlightened. You are made willing. That's God's calling. Let me show you from the Bible. In the first place, let us see it in verse 17, but as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk. Is any man called being circumcised? Is someone converted? Being circumcised? Called? I read in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. See? It is that calling of the Lord. He calls out of the darkness. He takes your hand, he takes your heart, and he draws you out of the darkness of sin and the world and your own lost state, and he brings to that eternal light. You know, in the Bible, the word calling is used both ways. We also see that in the Canon of the Lord, if I may show you. On page 107, you see both. In the first place, I read Article 9 on page 107. It is not a fault of the gospel, nor of Christ offered therein, nor of God who calls men. He calls men by the gospel and confers upon them various gifts, that those who are called by the ministry of the word refuse to come and be converted. So when the Lord calls, people can refuse. But then on the next page, for example, in Article 11, But when God accomplishes his good pleasure in the elect or works in them through conversion, he not only causes the gospel to be externally preached to them and powerfully illuminates their mind by this Holy Spirit that they may rightly understand and discern the things of the Spirit of God, but by the efficacy of the same regenerating Spirit pervades the inmost recesses of the man. So what happens when the Lord calls you in that intense way? The Lord takes your heart. He takes that stony heart out, gives you a heart of flesh, and you are a different person. You have a different focal point. The eternity is weighing. You begin to realize that this life without God is so meaningless, so empty. And you are drawn to the Word. And the Word of God becomes your book. You begin to read it and to study it and to listen to it and to love it. Because he calls. He calls you. And he disconnects you in a certain way from your sins. And you begin to hate sin. You don't want to sin anymore. You do sin. You're disappointed about that. But yet, the Lord calls you, and he calls you again, and you experience the power of it. It is the power of God unto salvation. The Apostle Paul also writes in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians about that. God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You were, yes, you were called. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So the Apostle Paul is advising. Advising who? He's advising those people that are called. He's advising God's people that are called out of sin and darkness and world and have been made pilgrims. He advises God's people. But you know, it is also quite serious to heed the calling and to not answer it. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not. So, you all hear the gospel call. And if you don't answer that, it's on your account. But the Lord works it in such a way that you are made willing that you cannot resist anymore. That's the power of God. And when that happens, there's love and also zeal. Let's talk about zeal. Zeal. Kind of an excitement. Something new. Something radical. You know what radical means? Radix. But radical means it has everything to do with the roots. So it's very fundamental. It's a complete change of heart. And there's that zeal. And you say, I cannot do that anymore. I'm not going along anymore. I can't use it anymore. I can't sing it anymore. I can't see it anymore. I can't hear it anymore. And you say, it's enough. And there's that choice. And sometimes you fall back, and you choose again, and you say, you make mistakes, and you struggle with it, but yet, the choice is worked in the heart. And congregation, that zeal sometimes goes too far. Do you know, think of someone, a pagan man in Corinth. He heard the Apostle Paul speak. He was deeply convinced of his sins. He came home and said, that needs to go. And he looked at his wife and said, you know, we're not on the same page anymore. Should you not leave? I think I'm leaving. This is such an ungodly marriage. There's so many things wrong. We can't agree on those things anymore. You're leaving or I'm leaving. And the Apostle Paul says, no, remain where you are, if possible. And you know, I see that man that was converted, that pagan man, and he went to work, and he said to his boss, you are not my boss anymore, because you have another master, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. You know, and he says to his girls, you know, I was planning to marry you out to that man from town. I can't do it anymore. You have to stay unmarried for a while. See, that's the second part of chapter 1 Corinthians 7. The Apostle Paul is advising them, they're called, to just calm down. Brings us to the second thought. So, in the first place, the Apostle Paul addresses the problem of circumcision. You know, that pagan man that was circumcised, that was converted, said, you know, now I need to be circumcised. Because you need to be circumcised in order to be a really Jewish Christian. He was mixed up. But he said, I need to be circumcised. So the Apostle Paul says, you were called uncircumcised, not? So you stay uncircumcised. And some others said, you know, I was circumcised when I was young. I like to undo that. Because it's not so important at all. So somehow he wanted to change it around and to make himself uncircumcised again. The Apostle Paul says, whatever. The Apostle Paul says, circumcision is nothing. Circumcision is not that important. Were you circumcised or not circumcised? There are more important things, aren't there? If any man called, 18, is any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. And then the bold verse in 19, circumcision is nothing. And uncircumcision is nothing. And what's important? Look at verse 19. But the keeping of the commandments of God. That's important. You know, you can lay awake about many things. And maybe there are good points. Maybe you should be circumcised or not circumcised, or Apostle Paul says, that if that's your identity, being circumcised or not, you make a big mistake. That's not that important. So, let go. You were circumcised? Okay, you were circumcised. You weren't? But you weren't. But the keeping of the commandments of God, the love for the Bible, the call to follow, the call to repent, the call to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to walk in his ways, that narrow pathway into eternal light. That's important. Those outer things, be careful. Some outer things are important, but sometimes you just say, no, let's do this, let it go. So, what are you busy with? This or that, or maybe some other things, and maybe important things. But what really counts is the keeping of the commandments of God, being the result of a new heart, of walking the ways of the Lord. And then, it's all the same theme. It's all about calm down, stay where you are, don't change so quickly. You know, of course, they had to leave certain things and to disconnect from certain things, but not from everything. And then the Apostle Paul speaks about slavery, about being a servant. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. That's whatever. That's not important. A servant? But if thou be called a servant, care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, sure, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. And likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. And ye are bought with a price. Be not ye therefore servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide. See that? Abide with God. Now, slavery in the time of the New Testament was not the same as slavery in the United States and Canada. It has nothing to do with race. And the slaves, the servants in Israel and in Athens and in Philippi and Corinth, those servants were making good salary. And they sometimes had servants themselves. And they sometimes were very educated and very valuable people in the society. But yet they were officially servants. And some were free men. So the Apostle Paul doesn't say that's all fine. He says, you know, if you can be free, use it. Use it. But he is not in favor of a revolution. He is not in favor of making a chaos of society. He says, you know, seek opportunity to be freed, but keep in mind there's something else. Are you a servant of God? Are you a servant of Christ? For he that is called, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. So you're a servant, and you have a master. But you know, if you have been called by the Lord with that special saving calling, you are a free man. And likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. So the Apostle Paul uses the theology to explain practical things. And he says, it's kind of minor if you're a servant or not. It's minor if you are in that special kind type of slavery or not. It's kind of minor, not so important. And so the Apostle Paul also talks of marriage in verse 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. So he's saying, I can't find anything out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus about this issue. I have no commandment of the Lord. The Lord Jesus didn't talk about that. Yet, I give my judgment. Oh, Apostle Paul, that's your personal thought in the Bible? No. Yet I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. So he's saying, I'm sure about this. The Lord in his mercy has given me the insight and the light, and I convey this as the word of God. Although there is not a specific command of the Lord Jesus, yet by God's mercy, I dare to say this. And I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it's good for a man so to be. Are you bound to a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Are thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. We talked about that last Sunday, didn't we? So if you don't have to marry, don't marry. If you have to marry, marry. But you see the point? Stay where you are. Are you bound to a wife? Because some of those pagans who were converted, they said, you know, I'm leaving my wife. I'm leaving my husband. It doesn't work anymore. Two faith on one pillow doesn't work. It's always tension, always disagreement. I can't handle that. But Paul says, stay where you are, if possible. Because there can be so much zeal, but you can also overdo it. And then I skip a few verses. I will come back about in the third point and look at the last part of this chapter. That's the same theme. That same theme of remaining unmarried, for example. But I would, 32, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried care for the things that belong to the Lord, how it may please the Lord. But he that is married, care for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. It's about being single. It's completely fine. Be single. It has even advantages. Because then you have so much more time on your hands to please God. To walk in his ways, to use your time and to use your energy in the things that are most important of the kingdom of God. He is a man care for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. And you can fill it in different ways. But you know, young people, you're single, and your mom is saying, when? And your friends say, when? And your brothers say, it's time you get married. Don't listen. You don't have to. You don't have to. It might be better not to. But he that is married care for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. See that? So when you marry yet, and that's fine, but you have to think that's not always easy either. And you may be extra busy and have less time for the things of God and of the kingdom of God. There's a difference also between a wife and a virgin, a married woman and a single woman. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But he that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And then the Apostle Paul talks about fathers marrying of the children. That's in the second last part of this chapter. And he writes in verse 38, so then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage does better. This is, by the way, a problem in that piece, because some say this is about parents and their girls. And others say, no, this is about betrothed people. So someone is engaged, and that's the issue? I don't think so. But it's a hard piece. And then 39 and 40, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide, fourth time, abide after my judgment. And I think, I'm convinced, he means, also that I have the Spirit of God. So widowers, don't marry. If you want to, go ahead. But she is happier if she so abide. So the apostle's advice to them that are called in a saving way, and he advises them to calm down and to see things in a different light and have not so much zeal and break things apart, but just follow the Lord and take your time and think it through. Because the time is short. Third point. Paul's advice. To whom? What about? Why? But he advises them their call. He advises them to remain, mainly. Not remaining in sin, not remaining in sinful relationships, not remaining in a business that is not ethical, not remaining in anything that's sinful, but for the rest, remain, be calm, follow the Lord, because the time is short. Verse 29, the time is short. That's crucial in this chapter. But what time? The time of your life is short. And the time that is still remaining until the second coming of Christ is short. It won't take long and we die. It won't take long and the Lord Jesus is returning. There was a feeling also in the time of the Lord Jesus. After Lord Jesus died, the feeling that he would come back quickly. And so all the generations after have to count on that. It might be this century. It might be the time we live in. So all the generations following must have the feeling, maybe it's now, because it will be short. Remember Jacob? Talking to the Pharaoh in the first meeting. And the Pharaoh of Egypt, just looking at old man, and he must have asked, tell something about yourself, who are you? And he said, you know, I lived only a few days. What did he say? He was actually 130 years old. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. So he was a pilgrim. He wasn't home on earth. It was not his house. It was not his final destination. Few and evil. Pilgrimage. He was waiting for that salvation of the Lord. You know Psalm 90, don't you? For all our days are passed away in thy wrath, we spent our years as a tale that is told. What does it mean? A tale that is told. A word that is spoken. A tale is a word. Told is spoken. A sigh that was sighed. You know, when I say a word, if I say the word, how long does it take? How long is it in the air? Word. It's so brief. Such a short moment. Our life is a tale is told. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and is non-abiding. You know, we have the feeling, don't we? I'm not going to die young. I may get 100. You know, I caught myself this week as well. I thought maybe another 20 years in Chilliwack. Then I'm 87, so that's, why not? It's absolutely not realistic, is it? And still, that's in my mind. Sometimes, that feeling invincible, that feeling kind of not going to die yet. And you may have the same feeling that you are so focused on a long life, you kind of almost count on it. Well, that's so wrong. Because it's like a shadow. It's as a tale is told. We have to live with death every day. It can be just around the corner. Count your days. The time is short. It's like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You know, when your mother has a pan of water on the stove and you just see the steam coming off, the steam just there and just disappears. That's what life is. Our days are as a hand breath. And I understand that Reverend Verhoef, the old Reverend Verhoef in Chilliwack, often said a hand breath, not this way, but this way. That's not very wide. So that is a short time. And we have to realize that. And not only that, but also the second coming of Christ will be shortly. Beloved, be not ignorant of the one thing, because during the time of the Apostle Peter, people just challenging that and said, you know, whatever. Things haven't changed much the last couple of years. I don't think it is that fast. But he says, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The day of the Lord is as a thief in the night. in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise. And elements shall melt with fervent heat. You know, do you have an old piece of garment, a shirt, a coat, that you have been wearing for years and years in the garden or something, and there are holes and stains, it's worn, and that's this world. This world is worn. This world is an old man. This world has wrinkles, and it's limping, and it's sick, and it's about to die. This world is. It's not only the environment, it's not only that people change the environment and may have misused this world, although we have our responsibilities. It's also God's hand. You just notice it. It's like a garment. It's getting old. So, therefore, I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had not. So, are you married? That's fine. It's a blessing. But you should live as if you're not. What do you mean? Ignore her? No. Don't do that. Just be unfaithful? Of course, that's not the meaning either. But you're married, and yet she is not your idol. She is not, he is not your everything. You just moderate it. You know, you just realize it's only for the time being. You realize one of us is first. You realize I have nothing to say. You realize that your marriage is not the marriage. The marriage is the marriage of the Lord with his people. The marriage is the Lord Jesus Christ being the bridegroom. And I belong to the bride. That's the real marriage. That's the real relationship. That's the real love. That's the real peace. That's the real thing. So if that's on your mind, if the Lord Jesus is on your mind, the Savior who gave his life for his bride, laid down his life for his church, if he is your focal point, then your marriage is not the same anymore. And they that weep as though they wept not. Who is weeping here? Who is suffering here? You know, I can see that. Maybe you're also overwhelmed with sadness about things. And you just, you cry, maybe every day, about something. And the Lord says, weep, it's okay, as though they wept not. Don't let the sadness overwhelm you. Don't let the concerns in this life kill you. Just let go. Ye are called by the Lord. Take things a little easier and give it over in the hands of God. Ye are called. The time is short. It won't be forever. So you don't have to feel sad in such an overwhelming way. Because even sadness, if you are too sad, can be a sin, right? And they that buy as though they possess not. Remember, young man, the first car you bought? The new car? The new truck? You were thinking and thinking, well, which one would I do? And can I afford this? And You're thinking about it hours and hours. And then you brought your first car home. And, you know, you're so careful. You were just polishing it every week and vacuum cleaning. And then the first scratch, right? The first little dent. You're so upset. Whatever. You know, I can see the point. I remember it myself as well. But you have to just let those things go. They that buy as though they possess not. So it's only earthly possession. It is not forever. And I skipped one, and they rejoice as though they rejoice not. You can also be overly happy. So happy with things that it's not normal anymore. Not God-fearing. Because there should be one happiness. The one happiness we have heard about. In verse 24. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Therein abide with God. He's talking about them that are called. He says, abide, let every man wherein he is called abide with God. If it is with God, you rejoice with God. Sad with God, married with God, single with God. They that buy as though they possess not. They talk about that car. But you know, what about people shopping? Shopping, and they don't even know what they're shopping for. They don't need anything. They just go shopping. Just looking at things. And buying things if they may think that they find something that they need. Just getting the kick from that. The thrill of that. Just buying. Buying always gives something of an excitement, right? You buy something, you go take it home. And it often doesn't take long and it wears off again. So the Apostle Paul said, the time is short. So take my advice and calm down. And they that use this world as not abusing it for the fashion of this world passes away. I don't think that fashion is the same as our word fashion. But you know, why do we have fashion? Why do models of cars change all the time? Why is the fashion in clothing change all the time? Well, one year this is fashion, another year that is fashion. In Europe, even worse than among us. What is that? To sell more so people get excited again. I have to have that. You know, those things are more sinful, you think. We talk about a few things that they do to children. It's wrong. Right. What about this? What do they see in your life? What do they see in your behavior, in your selling and buying and enjoying things? Do they see it? My mom says you can't do this and this and this, but she enjoys life so much. It's out of everything to her. Doesn't make much sense, does it? Do our children see it? That we possess as if we possess not. And buy if we buy not. And rejoice as if we rejoice not. And weep as though we wept not. That's a strong message, right? So, people of God, what we need is to kind of disconnect already a little bit. Don't have your roots so deep. Be a pilgrim, he belongs. Consider what it will be to meet the bridegroom. Consider what it will be to be with him forever and ever, that he will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. Don't get so excited about things. And be careful. Sometimes you have so much zeal and so little light. Also, speak of those things with others. And unconverted ones, how much time has been wasted? How many futile things you have been busy with? Things that were not important at all, and you just gave your life to those things, your time. How much time have you used for sinful things even? Precious time the Lord has given you to be saved and to seek him. And you said, I'm not going to seek the Lord. I'm going to sin with this hour. I take this hour for my own pleasure. And I do what I want. The time is short. So God granted you time to be saved. And don't use your time to perish. Have you wasted your best time? The time of your youth? Are you wasting the time? What do you think sinners in hell think about? Sinners in hell think about, if I could attend a service again, I would listen. If I could read the Bible again, I think I would do my utmost to understand it. If I had a year on earth, or a month, or a week, or a day, you know, people in hell, they realize that the time was short and that they have not paid attention to that and just have lived for their own self. So think about it. The fire will not be quenched. The worm will not die. Remember the times that we were together in church. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And I have a question for the boys and girls. Do you think that the Lord, the creator of the universe, do you think that he's calling you? Yes or no? Is he calling you? Well, he is. He calls you. My son, my daughter, give me your heart. And we know that it's an almighty God with his Holy Spirit, and he's able to call us in such a way that people cannot resist anymore and don't want to resist anymore. They have been called to that, into that marvelous light. Paul's advice to them, they're called. The apostle's advice to abide 4 times in this chapter. Abide, 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 abide. Because the time is short. Amen.